Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hey, you wouldn't believe that it is the last day of 2017. And a little under, I mean, over 45 minutes in some parts of the world, it will be New Year. You wouldn't believe that, will you? Well, but we are here. And I thank God that in some part, also people are sleeping. You'd be surprised. You see, that is amazing, God. Hallelujah. Yes, today we are going to talk about the topic overshadowed and filled. Overshadowed and filled. We've just celebrated Christmas. And for some of you, it's a nightmare scenario going back to work on Tuesday. Some probably have started going back to work already. But I just want to encourage you that it's good to work, because the Bible says anyone who will not work should not eat. You understand that? Yes. That is absolutely true. It's in the Bible. You can check it for yourself. Anyone who will not work should not eat. So if you are working, you must eat. That means they should give you good pay and not just minimum wage or something like that. You want proper pay. Good. Today I'll be speaking also from Luke chapter 1. Verse 13 to 35. It's all about the story of Christmas. And you'd be surprised that not many people connect the idea of the Holy Spirit overshadowing people or filling people to Christmas. Most of us, our idea about Christmas or the worldview about Christmas is that, oh, that's a good bank holiday, they call it. Some people can't even call it Christmas. And you wouldn't be surprised, you'd be surprised that our world, most people even don't call it Christmas. They're just happy to call it holidays or Christmas holidays. Some too, it's a period of food and drink and shopping and presents and parties. And wait till the new year come until they see their bank balance. Or they see their credit card, bills coming through. And they think, oh dear, what happened to me? Christmas is not all about that. I promise you, Christmas is about being overshadowed and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I hope that that is your view about Christmas. How do I know that? The Word of God tells us that. And I would like you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1, and then we'll be looking at things as we go along. It will help us in a great deal. And our young ladies over there, every now and then, we'll be switching the topic. And then, of course, in moving into the Bible so that we can follow that one through. Now, coming to, as it were, end of the Christmas period, we have to remind ourselves that Christmas is about the herald of the kingdom of God. That means the beginning of the kingdom of God in our lives. Hallelujah. You see, the beginning of God coming to earth, the birth of Jesus Christ ushered into our world the kingdom of God. That means the government of God. Hallelujah. So that means if you don't understand, that means it brings the rule. For instance, we are in this country and we say the government. Sometimes we think only about Theresa May. When we talk about the government, the whole power structure, including the queen and the activities, local government, anything that makes our country work. That is what we call about the government. Do you understand that? So, when we say the birth of Jesus Christ ushered in the government of God, anything that will make you a Christian tick, anything that will make you move on, anything that will make you be who you are, enjoy the very best of God that you have to have. That is, the Christmas is about the kingdom of God or the government of our God being here on earth. We can say that in Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 6. I haven't asked you to project it, but I will read it to you. Most of you know that verse. It said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9 says that of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. So Christmas is to help us to understand that the government of God ought to be ushered in your home, ought to be ushered in your church, ought to be ushered in every place that you find your feet. God's power and presence need to be there. You understand that? So Christmas is, we have to begin to look at it from a different perspective, that God is ushering his kingdom, God is ushering his power, God is ushering his presence, so that you and me will walk in it. And when we walk in it, we have to have peace in our lives. And his God, the increase of his kingdom and the increase of his peace, it should be no end to it. You understand that? That means it's got to continue. So that means this coming year, we should look forward to God's government, God's peace, God's kingdom, and everything that God brings there should be no end. That means you should not be a Christian one day, the next day you are falling apart. You should not be on fire one day, the next day you are just as cold as water. You should not be so righteous, and the next day you are living in so much sin. It should not be that case. The influence and the power of God need to be absolutely evident for people to see. The birth of Jesus Christ also brings in what God started from the beginning. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that God created man in his own image, right? And when he created man in his own image, he also said that this idea of his government brings in dominion, because he said, now have dominion and rule over the world. Do you understand that? So that means God actually ushered us into a kingdom of power. God ushered us into a kingdom that you and me will begin to rule over every situation, right? Sometimes situations seem to be ruling us, and we kind of almost like begging situations. Oh, God, look at my life. It's as miserable as hell. I mean, my life is not as miserable as hell. If yours is, God bless you. But here we are. We have to stand tall. Yeah, not everybody is born physically tall, but stand tall means that you have to stand above the issues. Because remember, the government also have to bring somebody who rules, isn't it? The governor, isn't that right? You see, in our workplace, we call somebody the governor, don't we? If the person is a governor, if the person says you can't go for a break, is it? If the governor pays you, isn't that right? So that means we have to be the governor in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, Christmas is ushering us into another phase of our lives, that in the coming year, we should be bosses of our destiny because of the kingdom of God that we want to walk in. Amen. So, everywhere that you go, you have to bring the kingdom of God. That is why we prayed that thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, isn't it? And we are here and on earth, and God is in the heavens. So today we are asking that in this new year, wherever the sole of our feet will tread, we are going to be the governor of that place, and we are going to bring the rule of God in that place, the influence of God in that place, and the power of God in that place. Are you following with me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it brings the dominion, the influence, wherever you are. The government of God comes within the power of God, which is the supernatural ability, which is found only in God. So if you are bringing the government of God, Jesus Christ is bringing the government of God, the kingdom of God here on this earth, and we are going to rule in it, then we have to bring the supernatural ability of God with us. That means we have to begin to walk in power. We have to begin to walk in miracles. You see, we do sing this song, I walk in power, I walk in miracles, and we walk in poverty. We have to bring the kingdom of God and walk in power and walk in miracles. Hallelujah. Miracles derive from supernatural ability of God to effect and to change the order of things. Things that are normal, he changed them to be abnormal. All things that are abnormal, he changed them to be normal. Effectively, with God, nothing is impossible. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with our God. The government comes with the power of God, with the supernatural ability found in him. The reason? It's for God's glory to be shown on earth. The glory is the presence of God. When God's glory comes, it releases his presence and meets our needs. Hallelujah. It meets our needs. Because we look at a character like Zechariah. Zechariah had been praying, oh God, help me to get a child. He's been praying for several years until he's gone so gray and so old that he's past that stage of having children, even his wife. And then suddenly, God appeared. It's just like our world, that suddenly Christmas comes. Suddenly, Emmanuel shows up. That means God with us. So Zechariah had been praying for a long time. But still the wife was barren and childless. Yet he'd been serving the Lord. Yet he was a priest. Yet was doing all what he had to do. In fact, that's what verse 1 to 5 of Luke chapter 1 tells us. When the presence of God comes to Zechariah in the form of an angel Gabriel with a message, he became afraid and doubted. But then what God was pointing to him is that you've been praying and I'm bringing my kingdom comes. I'm bringing my supernatural power to come. Because you've been, your wife has been barren all these years and life tells you that you have passed that age, nothing can be done. You know what? I can do something about that situation and I can change that situation. Because with me, nothing is impossible. And that is what I specialize in. My power, my kingdom, my presence, my glory bring creative order. You understand that? It brings things anew. It brings things anew. So, let's look at what it said. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice or delight at his birth. Now, what God is saying is that when the kingdom of God is ushered in, when the presence of God is ushered in, what it does is that God is going to bring an answer to our prayers. Those prayers that we've been praying so much. So for me, I look forward to Christmas in the supernatural way. That is a beginning of beginnings for me. So as we are going into a new year, some of you are going to have resolutions. I beg you, any resolutions of worth having is that God, let it be the beginning of beginnings for me. Where that my prayers will be answered. Where the things that I've held back for so long, your presence will come, your power will come, your angelic being will come. There may be no angelic being will come and speak to you, but God will come and meet your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. That is what God does. The presence of God here also manifests the power of God. The Holy Spirit came down and filled John even before he was born. Now, what are we saying? When the Holy Spirit frees you, it is for a specific purpose. To bring God's kingdom, what I call God's stuff. The supernatural ability found in him, the power of God to have dominion and influence over your realms. All these things God bring them. John's specific purpose was this, to prepare the way of the Lord. That's the preaching, repentance, and baptism, and baptizing people and bringing them to faith in Christ. What is all these long stories about? What I'm saying is that times like this, we have to look for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You understand that? We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit because John was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, all in ushering the kingdom of God into being. Most of us, we don't connect it that Christmas is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to remind us that Christians or people of God need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can usher the kingdom of God in, so that we can do the specific purposes for which God has brought us into the world for. Each one of you have a purpose to be here. Each one of you have a purpose in this world. If each one of you have to fulfill something before you die. And until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, most people just miss those marks or misplace their purposes. So I want to encourage you, church, that we have to desire and ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, without which we miss out. There's nothing to be afraid of. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah was afraid and doubtful that, God, can this really be you? Can this really be your presence? Can this be your power? And yet an angel was talking to him. And because he doubted, he became mute. Even though the message was clear. And today the message is clear to you that when you doubt, you just mute your anointing. You just mute what God has for you. So it is for us to have a purpose. And he preached repentance. So we look at verse 15 and verse 17 of Luke chapter 1. He said, if you put it up, he said, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his birth. And we are talking about Jesus Christ coming to this world. We're talking about Christmas. And are we going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? There's going to be a birth of a new year in a short while. And are you going to be filled with the Holy Spirit before even that happens? Or are you just going to walk about as usual? Church, work, sleep, wake up, get on your phone or something, and then your time comes and you die and you are totally unfulfilled. Is that what it's all about? But our like Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, she believed it, and she was also filled with the Holy Spirit. She received revelation about Jesus and gave word of knowledge and prophesied. When you look at chapter 1, verse 41 to 44, that is exactly what happened. Even Elizabeth was also filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can see all leading to the ushering in of the kingdom of God, the influence and the power of God. So for us to be that influential, for us to be powerful in the coming year, for us to have our needs met, and for us to be the Christians that God wants us to be, for us to fulfill the purpose for which God has called us, you and me ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've been barren for all these years, this is the time for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Elizabeth says something like, oh God, who am I that you've even considered me and you have removed my shame? God wants to remove your shame. God wants to remove your defeat. God wants to remove your failures. God wants to remove your past. And he wants to move you to a point where his Spirit will be leading you, where his Spirit will be filling you for exploit. Hallelujah. Are we willing for God to use us this way? Brothers and sisters, we cannot continue coming to this church and not desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot continue to be like Zechariah and be afraid and doubtful anymore. Remember, the wife opened up to God and she was filled. Remember, John opened up to God and he fulfilled his destiny. John's role was prophesied by prophet Isaiah 700 years prior. Remember what he said, the voice in the wilderness, prepare ye way the way of the Lord. And 400 years prayer, Malachi also said that you will not hear the voice of God anymore because of your disobedience until you hear someone who come in the name of the Lord and say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So he came to fulfill what has been spoken. So there is a spoken word about you when God gave birth to you. When your parents gave birth to you and they brought you out to this world, God had something over you. Because in your mother's womb, God formed you, God knew you by name, and God said, X, Y, Z, you're going to fulfill a promise. You're going to fulfill a destiny. But are you fulfilling that destiny? Do you know that? We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do that. Others have other means of doing it. But that is not our way. Our way is to allow God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Do you believe this? Elizabeth said that, blessed is she who believed. That's verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is he or she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment. If we believe, there will be a fulfillment of this. The Holy Spirit, who is the supernatural power of God, brings his miraculous power, ability, might, and strength to bear. And John and his mother Elizabeth understood this. So they believed and it worked for them. Being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us the supernatural power to advance the kingdom of God on earth. The Holy Spirit does not fill you for vain. Because we cannot just ask for power for power's sake. I mean, why do politicians stand for election? They want power. And you give them the power. And when you give them the power, what do? They rule us, don't they? In some countries, they ask for power. And when they get the power, they want where the money is so they can grab for themselves. So people need power to do things. Some even coerce power so that they can subjugate others, so that they can amass wealth, so that they can do silly things. But then God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can advance His kingdom. He has clear objectives in mind that are directly related to the advancement of His kingdom on earth to change things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit helps the fulfillment of ministry functions and service to God. Effectively, we are saying that serving God effectively is impossible if we depend on our own strength to do it. You see, if you depend upon your own strength, you soon just lose interest. You soon look around and thinking, XYZ is not helping me, it's just me doing it. And then you begin to complain and moan. You don't get no blessing for that. The preaching and teaching of the gospel must be anointed with supernatural power from God. People who try to serve God without His powerful His power will eventually suffer from supernatural or emotion, will suffer from spiritual or emotional burnout and breakdown. We see John preaching in power of the Holy Spirit, and people repenting and rushing to come forward to be baptized. Even the religious leaders did the same. Even Roman soldiers, some of them came and said, "What about me? People are getting saved. They're getting baptized." And John was not a preacher who was, come to Jesus and come and receive love. He never said, come and receive love. Not once. He says, turn from your ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Have you heard Billy Graham preaching before? Dad, I know you went to his crusade once. You see, he said, turn from your ways. If you don't turn from your ways, one day it will catch up with you. So today I just want to tell you that whatever you're doing that you know is not right, turn from your ways, for one day it will catch up with you. And when it catch up with you, it will be a difficult thing. That was John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for God's kingdom, God's power, for God's influence is at hand. And when God's influence and power is at stake, one day you'll be caught. You understand that? One day it will be difficult for you. So the kingdom of God is at hand. John preached such messages. When people ignore the purpose of something, they use it ineffectively or pervert its function, and various negative results ensues. We look at Samson. Samson in the Bible, Judges chapter 13, to chapter 16. He was one of the 13 judges in the Bible. God filled him with His Spirit. If you read the story, you see that the Bible said God filled him just like John the Baptist in his mother's womb. And he was told that he would be great. Just like John the Baptist said, no liquor should touch him. No razor should touch his head. And he would be mighty. And we read Samson's story and we said every time that the Spirit of God fills him, he becomes so powerful. And he was able to defeat the Philistines. You see, the Philistines were strong people. I've preached this message before. They were strong people, almost inconquerable, with strong gods and strong structures, economically powerful, militarily strong. And Samson was the only person who was given the power to defeat them. And Samson, he ran away, or his people ran away. And Samson did not do that. He misused the power that God has given to him. And he did stupid things with it. Samson was supposed to defeat and destroy the Philistines, but not to die with them. You look at Judges chapter 16, verse 30. The Bible said, and when his eyes was gouged out and his hair grew back, he felt the pillars and pushed it back and said, God, let me die with the Philistines. Is that what God asked him to do? Not to die with the Philistines, but to destroy the Philistines. And most often, when we actually do not use the purpose for which God has given us the supernatural power, the Holy Spirit, with, then we end up dying with the Philistines. You understand that? And many Christians are dying with the Philistines. They're just like the Philistines of our land, the people of our land, many children, many teenagers, many adults. They just want to mingle with the community around them. They can't even stand out. They don't even want to hear what God is saying. Samson should have known better. Time and time again, the Spirit of God will fill him. And whenever the Spirit of God fills you, it's for a specific purpose. And that purpose needs to be accomplished. So time and time again, the Spirit, when you are filled with the Spirit, it's not a continuous thing. It comes for a purpose, then it goes. It comes for a purpose, then it goes. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. So that means sometimes we can come to a point that we engage certain situations. It is so difficult, it's almost insurmountable. And what we need to say to God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. So we'll be able to move these mountains and shift these boundaries and change situations. And that is exactly what happened in the case of John the Baptist and Elizabeth. But in the case of Samson, he used it partially. By the end of the day, he gave it away. Let me pick up on Mary. And we'll see where we go with that. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And we know this. John will bring many people back to the Lord, their God. But Mary had a purpose. Christ's birth was announced with the overshadowing of Mary with the Holy Spirit. Mary was open to the full supernatural power and presence of God to come upon her, to overwhelm and baptize her. In other words, from my understanding, the first person who was baptized with the Holy Spirit is Mary in the Bible. Have you thought about that? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And she was a common, ordinary woman. You see, in the time of Israel, when you were a lady or a girl, between the ages of 16 and 22, you were expected to get married. So she was probably 16 years old, maybe 17, maybe 18, maybe 19, 20, 21, 22, maybe older. When you reach 22, you're not married. In their culture, you've passed it. Or you are missing the point. They'd be wondering, what's she doing? Nobody wants her? You see, but all this while, this lady who was so young, like some of you young people in this church, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. She allowed herself for the Spirit of God to overshadow her. Let's read from verse 30 to 33, if you have still your Bibles with you in Luke chapter 1. Okay, I'll read from the New King James Version until the other one comes up. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Time and time again, kingdom is coming in. So here we see that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary to bring the kingdom of God to bear. And that is what Christmas is about, my brothers and sisters. That's what a new birth, a new year is all about, that we will walk in the Holy Spirit. So if in the coming year you hear us talking about the Holy Spirit, don't think that I'm bringing a new teaching to you. I'm bringing a teaching that is in the Bible. I'm trying to help us and you so that we can move on to another place. So here we see babies being filled with the Holy Spirit in their mother's womb. And then here we see a young, probably a teenager, being overshadowed with the Holy Spirit. And she was curious. How would this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? I thought I should let you know that it is the right thing to do, not to have sex before you get married. You understand that? You see, because when you get to a certain age, people will be thinking, where's your boyfriend? Where's your girlfriend? Where's your boyfriend? Where's your girlfriend? Where's your boyfriend? Where's your girlfriend? What can we compare? It is all right to be like Mary. Does that sound like good theology to you? This is scripture. I know most of you can say I'm into it. But all what I'm trying to say is that it is all right. That is God's ideal. That is scripture. So look at this woman and say, look, I've never had sex in my life. I've never known a man, even though she was engaged. She said, I've never done that before. So how can this be? Now show me. This one is so overwhelming to me. Show me. I'm curious. I'm interested. What is my Facebook is going to be like? She wanted to know. Mary learned to meditate on these words and kept it in her heart. She learned to wait on the Lord to fulfill his promise. In other words, she tarried, that is, she sat down and lived in the authority that God had given to her by overshadowing her of the Holy Spirit. Because here is somebody who is virtually innocent from the world's point of view, and as God said, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. She hasn't known a man before in the area of sex, and she knows that before a child is born, a man and a woman will come together, right? And have sex and have a child, but then in her case, it's not even artificial insemination. Suddenly, she's going to do that. So she's curious, how is that going to be like? I want to know. All of the angels said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And a son is going to be born. So how will she work it out? That means she began to sit down and meditate and say, God, how is it going to be like? She began to believe it and began to see herself being the mother of what had been prophesied in Isaiah, that he'll be a mighty God. He'll be the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. She must have heard it, that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin will be born, will be conceived and have a baby, and she'll be called Emmanuel. So suddenly it dawned on her that, look, me. What a favor. God's favor has come upon me that I am going to be the mother of my Lord Jesus. And Elizabeth confirmed the same thing, that it is God's favor that has come upon you that you will be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that will come when you are overshadowed with the Holy Spirit. Your baby will not be like Jesus. But to bear something supernatural, to bear something great, to bear something enduring, you got to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. This time that means the Spirit will come upon you and stay with you. You understand that? And stay with you and work miracles with you day by day, hour by hour, month by month, week by week. The Spirit will come and overshadow you. And some of you, you walk and there's not, you have the Holy Spirit sitting there like a pilot light, no power in it. So I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. You wait until Christ shows up. And a lot of people will not make it. Because the Bible said, not those who say, Lord, Lord, will go into the kingdom of God, but those who does his will. Are you following? Those who does his will. And are you doing the will of God? You see, there's no point in, oh, I receive. What are you receiving? You wait for a preacher to preach and say, I receive. But then you're not doing nothing with it. You see, it's not about buzzwords, you know. It's about the power of God at work. So Christmas brought the power of God for us to be overshadowed with the Holy Spirit. He said every Christian wants to stand and minister before God and for God to use him or her to bring God's glory or God's presence or God's anointing, that person needs to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They need to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what this woman did. She began to see herself seated with God in the heavenly places. she began to see that as Jesus Christ, when he ascended into the heavens, as per Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 6, and 7, said, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. She began to see herself in that place where she is bringing forth the heavenly promise, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when she began to see that, it was such an amazing thing. And I remember a preacher wrote a book. His name is Watchman Nee. And one of the book is titled Sit, Walk, and Stand. And his revelation is that we have to sometimes sit and wait upon the Lord and begin to see what God is doing. Imagine the greatness that God is going to do. Then we begin to walk in it. We begin to walk in it. And then we'll be able to stand to withstand the enemy. This morning I came in and I was feeling so dizzy. Even at the point that getting up to stand here, I was just feeling so dizzy. I'm thinking, God, how am I going to stand and preach a message? But my prayer is, well, God, I want to resist the enemy. I want to see your healing power. I want to walk in your healing power. Then I want to stand and tell the enemy that you are a liar. That I am not going to be dizzy and fall, because you kept telling that, look, you can't preach because you have to hold on to some clutches. I have no clutches. I'm standing in the name of Jesus Christ. So verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest God Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary at that time clothed herself with God. Clothed herself with the power of God. Mary was clothed with the Holy Spirit, meaning she was completely covered by that substance that she could not see, that it would not be removed. It would be irremovable. She did that so that it would be inseparable. So she was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and she were one. Remember Jesus Christ, when he was baptized, he came out of the water, and the Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit. That means you could not separate Jesus Christ from the Holy Spirit. So you couldn't separate the Holy Spirit from Mary either. So there should come a time that you and me will be walking around, and people will look at us and we'll be full of the Holy Spirit. And that they cannot separate the Holy Spirit from us and us from the Holy Spirit. Imagine what sort of power that you'd be walking with. Are you with me? You'd be walking in such supernatural power. This is what we call the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Mary walked in the anointing to receive power, strength, and ability to give birth to Jesus Christ. Read verse 37. If you scroll that to that point, it said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So this new year, if you ask me, what is my message to you? My message to you is this. That Christmas is about something else. It's about the kingdom of God being ushered. It's about God's influence being ushered. It's about you and me being the governors and walking in authority, having dominion over everything. Because if God created it in his own image, then why aren't we doing the things of God? Jesus said, I must work the things of God and I must do the things of God. Or what I see my Father do, I do. So you have to begin to see God intimately in the coming year. You have to begin to see God from a different perspective. You have to begin to soar like eagles, and your problems become as small as nothing. You have to begin to take your eyes off those prayers that have not been answered, but begin to see the prayers that will be answered. You've got to begin to say that, God, you know what? This position that I am, or this situation that I'm facing, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can deal with it. Hallelujah. So that I can deal with it. I just want to beg you. God is not interested in people who are Christians and don't do nothing with their faith. People who walk in power are in the presence of God all the time. They're also in the assembly of God all the time. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Quoting Simeon and Anna in the Bible. The Bible said they were in the temple all the time. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And were able to utter the things that the Holy Spirit spoke to them, to Jesus when they saw him. You got to be in the presence of God so the Holy Spirit will actually begin to release you so that you can speak the things that God is saying. You don't have to be a preacher, but you got to be a Holy Spirit-filled Christian. This is the Christmas vision and the mission for us as individuals and as a church to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the coming year. When the disciples saw Jesus Christ, the praying Jesus, and the things that he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, they asked him to teach them how to pray, and he did. And I'm sure you all know that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, Jesus said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Amen. So for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. I'm repeating that for the third time. And literally, don't think about only God. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's the end of my Christmas message to you. I would like us to respond to this in a few minutes. You can stand or you can sit. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. God has given you the kingdom, the power, and the glory. What is your desire? What do you want God to do for you? What resolution do you want to have? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, remember, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. You have to ask God for this. If you want to be overshadowed with the Holy Spirit like Mary was, that is what we want. That is the message God brought to these people, that I'm coming to your home. I'm coming to your side. So are you willing to open your heart and your mind and ask God, do it in your own way? For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Just speak to God. Thank you, Jesus.